Okay, just taking attendance real quick. All right. Welcome everybody to the February 1st, 2023 Citizen Review Committee meeting. I'm Candace, the chair, pronouns she, her, living in Northeast Portland. We'll do our intros. Members of the public, please use the chat feature while it is open for this first portion to share name, pronouns, anything else you want to share about your affiliations. And so we'll go, David, you may, Ross.
Hello, everybody. My name is David Nguyen. I work for IPR.
Hi, you may Delgado, he, him. I'm the CRC vice chair, and I also chair the Transition Future work group.
Hey everybody, Ross Caldwell, he, him pronouns, IPR.
Greg, Vadim, Julie.
Hi everyone, Greg Griffin here in North Portland. I am a CRC media member and I live in North Portland. So, hi.
Hello everybody, Vadim Mazursky. I live in Southwest Portland.
Hi, I'm Julie Falk. I am a CRC member and I live in Southwest Portland.
Apologies. Chris and Kira.
Chris Pekarski, board member. I live in Southeast Portland. He, him pronouns.
Hi, and I'm Kira Pappas, and I live in East County.
Okay. Let's go ahead and move on. So we do not have an appeal tonight. We have a little bit of business. I expect our meeting to be short. We have one approval of minutes to do, which is for January 4th. Can I get a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Moved by Chris?
Yeah.
I second.
Thank you, Kira.
Kira.
Okay, let's take a vote. I vote aye. Julie?
Abstain.
Vadim?
Yes.
Greg?
Abstain.
You may.
Yes.
Chris.
Yes.
Kira.
Yes.
Okay. That gets a vote of 502 and that passes. Director Caldwell, your report is up.
Thank you much. Okay, so the big thing for us is we're going to be hiring a couple of investigators soon. We had one investigator leave and then another one promoted up from an investigator position to a management position. So this will be kind of our first external recruitment in a while. So it'll be interesting to test the hiring waters out there. You hear lots of weird stuff about that these days. So if you know anybody with especially administrative investigation experience, that's what we're looking for. We're hoping to get that opened up in February sometime. So we'll be working on that. We're also going to be opening up a recruitment for an additional CRC member. So I think Candace is gonna talk about that in a little bit here, but we'll have one opening there. So we'll start that here pretty quickly as soon as we can get it going. And we've really had quite a few more complaints coming in recently. It's been a really busy few weeks. So we definitely need a few investigators to get started. So hard to know if this is kind of a return to normal, with the pandemic and everything. We've definitely had fewer complaints coming in and kind of coming in different ways in the last couple of years. But this feels to me like more like what it used to be, but it'll be interesting to see if this is kind of a blip or if it stays as a trend. So we'll see. Then the only other update I really had on here was there is a status check on the settlement agreement in front of Judge Simon on Tuesday, February 28th, and the DOJ and the city continue to discuss the prospect of a monitor for the settlement agreement. I anticipate that's probably something that'll come up in that status check. It's been discussed in the last few, so I imagine that'll come up again. And then other than that, we've got some numbers, with our kind of caseloads and case age stuff here. And as always, if you have any questions about any of that, please reach out and be happy to go through it with anybody who's interested. I think that's all I have, unless there's any questions.
I do have a question. So I'm understanding that there was something that happened recently within the union and City Hall that I guess ownership, if you will, or supervision or whatever of CRC is moving out of IPR to the Community Safety Division. I asked for the record on that meeting and I haven't received it yet. So I don't know the details. It's just what I heard. So has that come up? Is there some transition for you all in oversight of us that's coming?
There hasn't been anything other than what we've talked about in our check-ins in past months, which is, I think, when we have when we do another kind of big recruitment for more volunteers, Community Safety Division will help with the lift for that. They're staffing PAC and PSEP, and so they're doing lots of volunteer recruitment. And so as we've kind of got fewer people in our office, we talked to them and to the city and said, when we do these recruitments, it takes a lot of work. It's a lot of administrative stuff that we don't really have the capacity for. So they're going to help with that kind of stuff when we get there. I imagine that this next CRC recruitment, because it's going to be only for a single member, is probably going to be kind of a smaller one. I think we've got some people that have been interested in the past, so we're probably just going to post that and, see if we get some people that are interested. So I don't think it'll be really anything different in the short term, but at some point when we need to do another large recruitment, when we have more people coming off, the Community Safety Division is going to help with more of that lift at that point. And then we've kind of also talked about, if people are interested in volunteering for, police oversight stuff, there's a lot of different places they can volunteer now. There's, PSEP, CRC, TAC, there's kind of all these different groups. If people don't want to do something public facing and they just want to do PRBs, that seems to appeal to some people, where, some of the more public facing stuff appeals to other people. So we've tried to just kind of streamline that as opposed to having different parts of the city running different recruitments, which is kind of slow and clunky and not very efficient. So just kind of what we talked about before, we're hopefully they're getting enough staff to actually implement being able to give us a hand with that kind of stuff. But I know that their workload seems to keep growing as more and more stuff ends up in the Community Safety Division. So we'll see how that goes.
Interesting, okay. Let's chat in the leadership meeting a little more about that just to make sure we're understanding how we are getting shifted around, because I definitely heard some different things, but I don't have the receipts. So I will talk to you about it.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know what you're hearing.
What'd you say?
I'd be curious to know what you're hearing.
Okay. You may?
Yeah, Ross, I was just going to ask, you said that we've seen an influx in complaints. Are these still from 2020 or are these more timely?
These have been more recent. We have got, we got a tort claim notice we reviewed that had five different complainants talking about five different incidents. So that's going to be, another chunk. But that kind of came all in one thing. The other ones have been more recent. They haven't been 2020 cases. So that's the other thing. Is that, like I mentioned before, that these have been kind of coming in different ways. That's what I was referring to, is a lot of those were coming. There weren't people that were actually complaining to us. They were, just filing a tort claim notice against the city. And then we review those and we were starting investigations from those. And then, as we've talked about before, sometimes those are problematic because we don't have, a complainant that is willing to do an interview, or their attorney doesn't want them to. And then we kind of start off without a lot of information to work with. So these ones have been kind of more what we used to see before 2020, it feels like. But again, it's, it's like in the last few weeks. So we'll see how it shapes out.
Thanks. Any other questions for Ross? Okay, we will move into chair report. So I have a short statement here from Amanda, who has said that She is no longer able to be part of the CRC, so she asked me to read this to you. It says, "Thank you for working with me during my time on the CRC. I appreciate all the work being done for the people of Portland. I apologize for stepping down, but can no longer balance this commitment with my other work, volunteer, and family obligations. I look forward to seeing where the new committee will take things, and I hope you have a chance to set them up for success. All the best, Amanda Greenboss." So as Ross mentioned, we will be needing to replace that seat and opening up a process, and we'll be working on getting that all propped up soon. We finally had our meeting with Mayor Wheeler. It was interesting. I'll leave it at that. Be super weird about it. But we did ask we asked about what are the next steps that the mayor is foreseeing for after the PAC finishes their work in June. And he said that he was going to put on his agendas with all of the counselors to talk about what does it look like to implement that next phase and all that. And I was clear that like I in no way represent the PAC, but more was asking from the perspective of our work on the CRC, how he foresees how our work changes or phases out. He didn't have those answers yet, but it's on his radar and he's planning to check back with us on that. I also understand there's a couple different kind of timelines for the PAC. I know that they've got the June, we've heard of this June timeline, but they're working on maybe shifting that a bit. I don't know if that's your update, Yume, but why don't I kick it to you? You've got a PAC update to give us.
Thanks, Candace. Yeah, I just, you know, as we're starting to get towards the last stages here, the PAC, I sort of took it upon myself to do a little survey of all the subcommittees that they have in the field right now. So they are finishing up with, I think, what is stage 3 of 6 for them, which is their sort of power section. So I've, this month, I went to a couple meetings of the full PAC and a couple of the subcommittee meetings. I also attended their town hall last night, heard from some of the community members. I think, you know, Dan Handelman and Debbie Iona, I think, are both in the audience, and I'm sure they could speak more eloquently about this than I can. But at this juncture, they are working on, they are wrapping up the power section. So they're looking at how appeals will be heard, how the information is accessed, what information the new body will have access to, also how policy recommendations will flow from the PAC. A lot of that will look perhaps similar, but more robust than what we're used to on CRC. They are envisioning a complaint process that is much more community run, and also an appeals board within that new oversight system. So I've yet to hear what their plan is for when that transition or handoff from CRC would be. I think that's in a later phase, but I would encourage you all to attend some of those meetings. I also met with the chairs of the, and I apologize, I'm probably butchering this name, I think it's the Officer Accountability Work Group or subcommittee, to just talk a little bit about sort of how CRC handles appeals and PRBs. So they're doing good work. They're about to move on to, I don't remember what the name of the phase is called, but they're about to move on to the section where they talk about things like who's going to be on the commission, what those requirements are, will those be salaried positions or stipended or what have you. So I would encourage all of you to keep an eye on those deliberations as they continue. And maybe in the next phase, we can have somebody from PAC come and give us a more formal update.
Cool. Thank you, Yume. I think that's it for my report. So let's go ahead and move into new business. So we are just doing a transition report check-in. What folks were tasked with between last month and this month's meeting was meeting in their new work groups and creating an outline for their portion of the report. So what we said we wanted to do today is go through those outlines and make sure everyone has eyes on them, and then just offer any feedback on whether they need to change or you need to add things or remove things. That way, in this next month, the committees can continue working on actually filling in all of the content for each of the outline points. So we'll spend a little bit of time doing that. I'll probably share my screen. Let me just click out of all these other things so that it's not too chaotic. One second. Cool. So sharing, and also I'll drop links. These are all on our public drive, so everyone can see them, including members of the public. So this one, the first one, we'll start with the transition pass outline. Let me share. Okay. So again, these points here, these dots are all of the different sections essentially that we discussed in our meeting we wanted to fill out. And we've worked on assigning those as well. What you see down here is me just setting up the framework for us to be able to input all of that information, but we're just going to be up here at the top looking at the headlines. So obviously we are planning on doing some history of CRC, history of IPR, and that's pretty straightforward and a big goal of the outline, but it'll be kind of high level. Then we've got a timeline of CRC in historical context, so major events, protest incidents, police cases, OIS, et cetera. Note, and this will be helpful for all of the work groups, that as you recall, we had the League of Women Voters, this was a couple months ago, last year, they came in and presented on their huge report that they did. Those reports offer a lot of historical context and knowledge, so definitely no need to reinvent the wheel. There's a lot that we can pull from there and draw people to. So those are linked here if folks want to look further. Then we've got Mike, who is our outstanding volunteer. He is working on the how the CRC appeal process works. Obviously, him being a volunteer, not being in it, we thought it was funny that he wanted to do that part, but we thought it'd be great for him to learn along the way. So we're going to help him with that. But this is just outlining the process. And then we're going to do a section on relevant cases through the CRC. So we broke it up into a couple different areas. So general cases to highlight, cases in which an officer personally went before the CRC. We talked a little bit about how there were, was it seven or 17? That number sounds, the seven sounds like what I think it was, but certain amount of cases where officers actually came to the CRC. So we thought that would be important to kind of highlight what that looked like, and then highlighting the cases that went to city council for a further appeal. Then we're going to do a little bit of CRC work groups and their past activities, structure, best practices, things like that. And we'll do a list of list and summaries of previous CRC reports that so essentially any other reports that CRC has put together, we're going to just make sure they're all compiled in one place. Also on the IPR and CRC structure, reviewing the recommendations made by consultants, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And then reviewing of the CRC code. This is kind of the big one that we've been talking about for a while. So the transition pass work group is going to take on that leadership of doing that with the help of Taylor. So this is like just kind of combing through the code, pointing out things that work well, things that don't, just as something to kind of mark the current CRC structure and leave behind some thoughts on that. And then lastly, we're going to have a section on advocacy groups and their involvement with the CRC. So we got some link to the CopWatch articles, which we feel are helpful to link to in this report. League of Women Voters, of course, and their reporting, Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform as well. And there's more that can be on this list. Those are just kind of the high level ones, but just kind of noting the way CRC has interacted with various advocacy groups over the course of our time. We made a point here that we wanted to talk with the larger group on what folks thought about maybe doing a former CRC member survey and whether that would be valuable to get some information from former members that we could put in the survey or put in the report. So we'll have that as a discussion point in a moment. But overall, that is the outline. So yeah, I'll go ahead and just open it to general thoughts or comments, things that folks feel should change or not. So now's the time if you have thoughts.
I think it looks really awesome.
Cool. I like those thoughts. Thanks, Julie. I guess the biggest thing is like, does anything feel like it's missing? Because that's when we wanted to check in with folks to make sure you had eyes on. If you're like, oh, there's a section that you should totally do, now's the time to tell us. Okay. I will take crickets as we crushed it. So awesome job, work group. With that, let's actually hold this former CRC thing. Let's do that last after we go over the outline. So we'll put a pin in that. Yume, do you want to talk us through Transition Futures outline?
Yes, and I was thinking, you read my mind, I was going to ask if you could screen share for me. So Transition Future, I think this section of the document is intended to be a little bit more concise. Obviously, we have a lot of history and there are other organizations that are thinking in great detail about what the future of policing in Portland would look like. But we narrowed it down to about four main categories. Some of these things are based on basically things that we didn't get done, right? Or things that we want to butt in on as we look to the future. So these are initiatives that we've passed and, you know, want to sort of continue to push on, or things that we wanted to pursue in future. So probably the biggest two or the most recent two are the standard of review and our protest recommendations from the 2020 report, which I would say by and large have more or less not been implemented, at least at a systemic level. We also want to look at sort of our wish list, things that we would like to see on future police accountability boards. So some of those revolve around things like subpoena power, complaint officer testimony, officer involvement in the complaint process, and a more public review of use of deadly force cases. All of these are things that I think are well under consideration by the PAC, but it's I think useful for us to support their efforts in that regard. Jessica, who I do not think was able to join us tonight, is going to be leading a section on accountability and restorative justice, and just how to center those principles as we look to the future. And then I think the last section that we want to tackle is future challenges. You know, I think the PAC is going to be doing a lot of work and proposing a pretty bold change to how we look at police oversight, but they are not going to fix everything. They're not dealing with, you know, city council, they're not dealing with the unions, they're not dealing with a lot of things that are already part of the, already baked into the mix, so to speak. And so I think it's useful for us to say, you know, even if we get everything we want in this current round of discussion and legislation, what remains to be done? What else is there in future? So those are going to be some of the sections that we're looking at. I believe our next meeting is the third Tuesday. So we're keeping with the same schedule as of last month. Julie, I know that that presents a conflict for you, so I owe you an email. I've been out of town the last week or so here, so I will touch base with you and figure out if there's a way that maybe we can either connect offline or find a way that works with your schedule to contribute here.
That would be great. And Chris and I have a meeting just set up to talk about standard of review.
Awesome. Thank you. Any comments, anything that we think we're missing on this front with regards to kind of a future forward look at police accountability? Okay, I'm going to take that to mean that we're in agreement here. So probably we're going to try it. We had a sort of a short meeting last month, so we're going to try and have this a little bit more fleshed out after our next meeting this month.
Great, thank you. Looks good. I can't think of anything that it needs, but I think all of us can feel welcome to continue thinking on that and reaching out to the chairs of the work groups if you do have ideas. Cool. Okay, and then lastly, I know that the audit work group is still working on getting everything up and running. After this meeting, I'm gonna meet with Kira and just help to get that going. I think the other thing we discussed when we had Mr. Hanneman on our call during our meeting was that he's got a lot of knowledge on previous audit work group, you know, goals and what they've accomplished, because I think at least in my time being here, the audit work group has been pretty stagnant. So it's hard for me to give you good ideas for where to take it. So Mr. Hanneman has agreed to make himself available to you, Kira, to sit down and talk through some of that history. And then I think definitely, you know, the parts of the audit section of the report are anything from previous audits that are worth mentioning. And I think that's also data we can get from IPR on any previous things that the audit work group had done. So those are kind of two big resources for getting you your work group going. But I also welcome if folks have thoughts, we can certainly help populate some thoughts for the audit work group on other areas that we feel they should take on. So let me open it up to that and we can do just a quick brainstorm to get them started. Thoughts? I'm looking for my email too that I sent you all. I feel like I put some ideas in there, but let me find that email. Okay, so what I wrote in that email was the recurring audit work group will focus on continuing your current work group charge to audit IPR and PPB, reviewing closed cases, et cetera, but you will also produce a portion of the transition report with any relevant findings from your audits that should be documented about IPR and other best practices to pass down. This will be a shorter portion of this report with a more narrow scope as the report is mostly about the CRC. And then a reminder of the audit work group's mission statement, which is they seek to improve accountability of IPR and PPB by reviewing closed cases and other relevant data to ensure procedures, policies, and protocols are appropriate and followed, and that recommendations for improvements are made based on emerging evidence and analysis. The work group will also work with other CRC work groups to develop policy recommendations for improvements. So I think your work group is going to be, you know, continuing to focus on your original charge with the added anything that when digging up previous audits that feels relevant to add to the transition report, that's your charge. Does that make sense for audit work group folks? Okay. I'm gonna just copy paste all that into your document so you can find it easily. And then hopefully we can get you all started here soon and you can start working on that. But are there any ideas from other CRC members on things that we would like audit work group to bring to the report? Okay. Well, you're on your own then. No, just kidding. we will figure something out. But I think what I wrote in that email, which I copy pasted into your document, is pretty straightforward what we're looking for. So cool. With that, let's bring it back to the first question that our work group wanted to pose to the larger group, which is thoughts on if it's valuable to reach out to former CRC members and receive any kind of information about their experience or other things that we would want to document in the report. We thought we would just bring it back to the group and see what folks thought. Ultimately, you know, when it comes to surveys, you always want to make sure you have a good goal in mind and what you're trying to answer before you start sending out random surveys. So I think that's what we were like, we're not fully sure like what would be the goal or, you know, what would be a value that we would want to add to the report. So I wanted to open it up to everybody to see if you had any thoughts or comments on whether we should do it or not.
I think it's a good idea as long as I don't have to write it.
Yeah, I think that surveys can have really high expectations for what you want to have come out of them, and I think kind of narrowing our expectations for what we're trying to get out of it makes sense. I think that just the purpose of inclusivity and inviting those perspectives, I think is just good practice and a really good thing to do in this very comprehensive report that we're giving. That it seems like it would maybe be even better received if it has historical perspective and just doesn't come from a certain set of members at a certain time and place. I mean, I know that it's going to draw from community members and other reports and all of that too, but I just think it kind of bolsters that credibility there. For what it's worth, I think that people would really appreciate it. They would really appreciate the opportunity to give their perspectives. A lot of people gave many hours of their time to this effort, and I think that they would feel very happy to be included.
My one question is, do we have a definition of what the survey group is? To me, it's important to make sure that we know who the survey is going to and to have some parameters around who will be included, or just as important, who will be excluded, so that the survey pool is thought through as opposed to just, you know, firing it out to a bunch of people, some of whom, having not been on the board very long, there may be people who are former members for particular reasons. And so it may be that they're our former members who, based upon, you know, their reason for departure or their term of service or various other factors, may not be people whose input is as important.
Well, I guess I wouldn't agree that folks that their input wouldn't be important if they had a gripe or an axe to grind. I think if anything, more important to me, but that's my take. I do think the net was going to be former CRC members. I think how we shape the questions would be to that, knowing that, I mean, ideally, I haven't asked David yet. I'm assuming we have like contact information for the history of CRC members. And I think it would be a wide, like, you know, tell us about how you experienced the system in your time. You know, if you did it, if you were on the CRC when it first started to a couple years ago, that's going to be a big difference in how everything was working. We would have to think about the questions for sure. But I think what we talked about was all CRC members. Am I remembering that correctly, work group members? Is that what we kind of batted around? Yeah. And then David, were you going to reply to my, do you have email contacts question?
Yes, I do. Nope. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of the, you guys figuring out the questionnaire and then I can send it out.
What's up, Taylor?
What do you think? I mean, what if we just do it super simple? Every, you know, former member that whose email address we have, and we just ask them two questions. What did you think worked and what did you think didn't work in your time? And then we just, maybe the survey isn't quantitative, but it's just qualitative. And maybe we get some good responses we can pull from that we drop into the report or something where like somebody has a really well-written summary of like, I didn't think this worked or I thought this worked well. Does that seem feasible? It wouldn't be quantitative though, but.
No, I like that actually, keeping it simple and open-ended. I don't even know what we would make, what kind of questions we would ask that were quantitative other than like
yeah,
experience on a scale of 1 to 10, but like that's not really that helpful other than like knowing why their experience was like that. And I think some of, you know, why they left is going to come up in those two questions, and also just like the systems that they saw or maybe changes they made at the time and why they made those changes. So I support that. Julie, were you going to say something?
I was thinking, I definitely support, all, you know, just all former CRC members that we have contact information for being reached out to. I'm thinking about the two questions. I do think keeping it simple, but I'm not sure how many people we might expect to hear from, and like sifting through that, like, you know, qualitative stuff could be a lot of work. Probably not though.
No, it is. We crowd control work groups remember how much freaking work it was reading a bunch of comments. So it is a lot of work, but I don't even know how many is in the pool of like CRC alumni. I can't imagine it's that many, but yeah. I mean, it definitely, qualitative data takes time to like decode, but could be worth it.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I don't know. I like a couple more questions maybe that were like, that would be like maybe ranking things. Like what are the top three things and people could choose like that would make, you know, the new body more effective or something like that. And, you know, what are the three biggest barriers you see to, I don't know, something I like Taylor. I like your approach, but maybe just like two more questions that had like choices in case people that, you know, wanted to, you know, reply, but didn't feel like writing a lot.
Yeah. I'm down with that. I think it would, I'm curious how we would come up with those like options, but I'm down with where your brain's going on that. And maybe they don't have to be pick one. Maybe the questions are just like pick three things that, you know, would have been better. Like we just make the question a little bit more specific in that way. If we don't feel like we could like put options together.
Yeah.
I feel like that's pretty, that's, I don't know, broad.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm open to it. It sounds like in general, I'm hearing could be worth it to hear from former members and add some perspective to our report. I see some head nods. So yes. Okay. Well, I will put that on our transition past work group agenda to talk more about, and maybe we can come up with a draft and bring that to the next meeting, and we can have a group discussion about it. That sound like a good plan? Cool. All right, and with that, I think that is it for our new and old business, unless any CRC members have any new or old business to bring to the group?
No, I was just going to echo what Candace said before we had quorum, that We have a new PRB coordinator, Liz. I don't have her last name in front of me, but I'm going to verify what days they anticipate being sort of normal PRB days for 2023. And then I'm going to recirculate the signup sheet. So, you know, we're getting these things usually about just over 2 weeks out. So if you're already slotted in, they can just email you, say, hey, can you take this case and move on? We don't have to do a last minute sort of sign up situation. So I'm going to, once that's ready to go, I would really ask everybody to look at their availability and try and put at least a few slots on the calendar. Obviously, I also know it depends on lead time and case file. So Greg, I appreciate you reading all 2,397 pages of that upcoming PRB. So that's my only new business.
Fun. Go, Greg. Thanks, Team May. I feel like we don't need to do work group updates because we kind of just did that, unless any work groups have any other updates to give. Okay. Then with that, we can move into public comment. We ready for public comment? Okay. Members of the public, you can go ahead and raise your hand, use the raise hand feature. We'll call on you. You keep time, or I guess Greg keeps time. 3 minutes. And here we go with number one, Mr. Handelman.
Oh, hi, did you call on me? This is Dan Handelman.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm not looking at the screen right now. I'm actually at the PCCP meeting at the same time. The miracle of Zoom. Thank you. This is Dan Handelman. I use he, him pronouns. I'm with the group Portland Cop Watch. I'm very glad that you're all meeting together. I just want to repeat something I said at one of your work group meetings, which is that I think that even though you're not having a lot of appeals or any appeals essentially since the middle of 2021, it would be great for you all to get back out in the community and let people know that you're still there and that they should file complaints with IPR and that this system is still going to be in place probably until 2025. So I don't want you to lose your skills in learning how, in running through these cases and listening to appeals. So it would be great to have some kind of public exposure that you can give. And also, in terms of the replacing Ms. Greenvoss, I thought there was still a pool of quite a few people who had been appointed as alternates a few years ago who haven't all been appointed into empty seats, but I may be wrong about that. I guess I'll have to run back to my computer. If you'll open up the chat, I can put in the chat the link to the most recent CopWatch newsletter. It came out at the beginning of January. Director's report, as usual, kind of skimmed over some important things. Like there's a huge list of officer-involved shootings cases that haven't been completely processed yet. And one of them was a young black man named Emmanuel Clark Johnson, who was the first black person killed by the Portland police between 2019 and November of last year when he was killed. Especially in the context of what's going on in Memphis and the whole Black Lives Matter movement, I just want to make sure that you're committee isn't losing sight of what the police are doing, even though you don't get to talk about deadly force cases that much in your meetings. I'm working on a show for Flying Focus Video Collective, of which I'm also a member, about the Training Advisory Council, and they hear the use of force data every quarter. And the use of force data show that Black Portlanders or Black people in Portland are subjected to force about between 19 and 30% of the time, with 19% being the number in the most recent quarter that they reviewed. That was the lowest number we've seen in as long as they've been tracking those numbers. But there was no real explanation from the BBA why a city with a 6% black population has such a high number of force cases against them, and B, why the number was so low that quarter. It went back up, by the way. But the show includes some choice words, I'd say, from the lieutenant who presented those, and an analysis that he did of how many black people would have to move into Portland for 20% of Portland to be black, and so for the numbers to be equitable. You'd be surprised what that number is. When you're serving former CRC members, I would particularly focus on chairs and vice chairs if you can. and try to find out if they have important cases and policies that they did. And that's just another suggestion. Oh, time's up. Okay, well, thank you very much. I'm going to try to paste that link in the chat if that's all right.
Thank you, Mr. Hendelman. Members of the public, last call to give public testimony. Raising your hands. Okay. With that, and let me grab this link from Mr. Hanneman and put it in my notes here. Then I think we are done. Members of the audit work group, though, stay behind. We're going to work on scheduling a meeting for you and getting you set up. So I think that's Greg, Vadim, Kira. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Everyone else is excused, and you can stop the recording.